Now, this is a continuing series, and I hope it is the last one on Hebrews chapter 11. The demonstration of faith is number 4. It's in Faith, the Superior Principle series in Hebrews. It's the Hebrew series. It's the 40th message. Working through, getting through this so we can start Daniel. But I just was pondering as I figure how to approach this message. It's exciting when you read of people of faith who, you know, they're victorious when they face tough circumstances. One of the accounts that sticks in my mind is a missionary in the mid to late 1800s, actually the 1860s. His name was John G. Payton, and he went to a series of islands. In his day, it was called the New Hebrides Islands. Today, it's called Vanuatu. And it's northeast of Australia. If you get to Australia and then look to the north and to the east of it, you'll find Vanuatu there today. But God had called him to be a missionary to the cannibals in New Hebrides Islands. And he established a base, and one night, hostile natives surrounded his wife and himself and his family, their missionary station. They had torches. They were intent on torching the missionary station. They were intent on killing and eating, because they were cannibals, the Paytons. And Payton and his wife prayed during that. They were terrified. They prayed during that terror-filled night for God's deliverance. Strange thing happened. Daylight just broke, and they looked out. And what was interesting was the attackers turned and left. They couldn't figure it out. Well, a year later, the tribal chieftain came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and Payton remembered that terror-filled night that he had experienced with he and his wife and his kids. And he asked the chief, asked him why they left without killing them. And here's what the chief said, according to the article in Moody Bible Institute today in today's world. He said, quote, "Who were all those men with you there?" End quote. Payton thought, he didn't have any men. There was he and his wife, and I think they had little kids at that time. But the chief said that he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords encircling the station, and they decided not to attack. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, we have been examining the demonstration of faith. And in Pastor Longstein read, but in verses 32 through 35, we have some notable illustrations. And I'm not going to take time to go through them in Hebrews 11, 35, 32 through 35a, but Gideon. Gideon's army was cut down to 300 so that God would get the glory. And then there's Barak, and there's Samson. You don't know Jephthah, but Jephthah, he was used of God to defeat the Amorites. You know about David. You know about Samuel. And the prophets, who because of their faith, and what faith is, they took God at his word and they acted on it. Faith is not a work. Faith is taking God at his word and acting on it. It says, through faith they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. It says, turned to flight the armies of aliens. That's 33 through 34. And then in verse 35 it says, women received their dead raised again. What's that talking about? Well, Elijah raised the widow's son, 1 Kings 17. Elisha raised the Shunammite woman's son in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 33 through 37. But now we come to 1135b through 38. By faith, others were victorious under their circumstances. Some were victorious over their circumstances. Some under their circumstances. What am I talking about? That's why I decided to sing you the song, Does Jesus Care, this morning. You know, the circumstances of life don't always work out happily ever after. And yet God still expects us to be people of faith. I remember this. I was 7 years old. On this day, 61 years ago, on this very day, 61 years ago, five missionaries were speared to death. They had guns with them. Not a single shot was fired, but five missionaries were speared to death by the Aka Indians. They were faithful unto death. I believe God's going to give them a crown of life. But let me explain. This is the case of Nate Saint, Ed McCauley, Peter Fleming, and Roger Udian, and Jim Elliott. The Lord had burdened these young men while they were in Bible college to reach unreached people with the cause of Christ. In fact, they were on the mission field doing that. Jim Elliott was a missionary aviation pilot. These guys decided that they were going to try and reach a hostile Indian tribes that they called the Aukas. And they'd even flown over, and from the airplane when it circled, they let down presents for the Indians, and the Indians took them and actually then tied some stuff back on and gave it to them as well. And so they thought, well, maybe we have a positive influence, and we can land there on the sand strip. Nate was a real good pilot. We can land there on the sand strip and try and make contact with them and make friends with them for the purpose of the gospel. So on January 8th, 1956, when I was 7 years old, they landed on that sand strip, and the hostile Indians killed all five of the missionary pilots and stripped their fabric-covered plane of every inch of the fabric that was on the plane. Reached next week. It reached the world, and it rocked the Christian world. And yet, I want to tell you the rest of the story. Less than 3 years after these five men's death, less than 3 years, Elizabeth Elliott, who was Jim Elliott's wife, and Rachel Saint, who was Nate Saint's sister, made contact with the Aukas because they had learned the language from a lady who had escaped from the Aukas. So they learned the language and greeted the people in their own language. And these two women with Elizabeth's daughter, they were accepted by the tribe, and the tribe invited them to come and live with them because they wondered why the missionaries had let themselves be killed rather than shoot any of their attackers. So when Elizabeth and Rachel went there, they heard the full story of why the men wanted to get there to them. They heard the story of the gospel, and many of them trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. These men freely allowed their own death for the benefit of the people. Rachel Saint spent more than 30 years working among the, what we call the Aka people. You know, these five were people of faith. But it didn't work out. It did not work out the way that they expected it to work out. And yet, they trusted God, and so did the wife and the sister of one. And this is what we're coming into now in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35b through 38. It gives us the insight and a picture into people of faith who are under circumstances that are negative and that don't necessarily turn out the way that they necessarily would wish that they turn out. And yet they still were people of strong faith. They were like Job, who said, though the Lord slay me, I will still trust in Him. Some of you are going through it. I know. Let me just read. It says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. And they were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Verse 38, a parenthetical statement, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. I want to begin by talking about the word tortured. I have thankfully never been tortured for my faith in Christ. I hope that I never am. I hope that none of you ever are. I've been mocked and derided and called dirty names and spit on and some of those type of things, but I've never been tortured. The word tortured is an interesting word there. How many of you have ever heard the word timpani? Okay, it's that drum. We call it a kettle drum. You know, and it's a kettle-shaped drum with a skin, and you can change the pitch of the drum by pushing the pedal. And the timpani players in the orchestra, they beat on that thing with quite large sticks. This Greek word is actually where the word timpani comes from, because it talks about taking a person and stretching them over a curved instrument and tying their legs and tying their hands and then beating them to death with sticks. That is what the Greek word tortured is right here. As important is the phrase, not accepting deliverance. It is interesting when you do the nuance of the word studies. That's why I like doing the word studies. Deliverance is the perfect word. It's the inspired word in English. But the idea of deliverance is this. There's an article in the Greek indicating that deliverance was offered to the one if they would deny their faith. They wouldn't have beat him to death if they would have denied their faith. But it says they would not accept deliverance. Somebody says, such a little thing. If I am thinking about the martyr Polycarp. And he was one of the early preachers. And he was an old man, a really old man in his 80s. And they came to get Polycarp and they said, we will not kill you if you will just offer a pinch of incense on the altar indicating that Caesar is God. Polycarp says, the Lord's been faithful to me these 80 years. I will not do that. So he was taken to the arena and ultimately killed, but they tried to set him on fire and it didn't work too well, and they lanced him and it was a spear and the blood put out the fire and it was really a mess, but he would not even offer a pinch of incense denying just with a pinch of incense would not deny a Savior. My question to you is, when things don't work out the way that you think that they should work out, and you're going through the struggles, and you're going through the trials, and you're going through the pain, and you're going through the difficulty, how strong is your faith? I dare not park here long, but it is a question. These Old Testament illustrations are given to us to show that sometimes God gives us glorious victory in our trials. Sometimes He does. Sometimes He does not. But God works everything according to the counsel of His own will. The next one, we see this in verse 36, the phrase, trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Isaac endured cruel mockings from Ishmael. Samson was mocked at the Feast of the Philistines. We have indications in the Old Testament, and Samson, as they're mocking him and teasing him about losing his strength and teasing him about all kinds of things and mocking him and poking him and prodding him, Samson says, can you lead me over to the two pillars and tie me up there? And they did. And Samson prayed out to God for all of Samson's fleshliness and weakness. He prayed out to God and asked God to use him one more time to destroy the Philistines. He asked him to restore his strength. And God restored Samson's strength, and he pulled down, and they have found those. I've seen the base of those pillars. They have found those. They've uncovered those in archaeological excavations. I hope the next time I'm to Israel, I can see those. But he pulled down those main supporting pillars, and 3,000 Philistines died with Samson. Didn't turn out like maybe that we would want. Then the scourgings. These are men of faith. If you don't renounce your faith, we're going to beat you. Verse 36, trials of cruel mockings and scourging. There's two types of scourgings. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 25, 1 through 3, I'm not going to turn you there to it, but the Jewish scourgings were made... you had to have the whip made of a clean animal, so they were made with braided calf skin. And you could give 40, but they usually didn't do that. To show their mercy, they only gave 39. The Jews did. And how they did it was this. They restrained the arms of whoever was being whipped. They stripped them naked. They gave the first 13 across their breast, their front area. Then 13 on one side of their back, one shoulder and down one side of their back. Then 13 on the other side, other shoulder and other side of their back. And most people lived through it, but some didn't. However, the Roman scourging was quite different. The Roman scourging, they used whips with up to 9 tails. How many of you have heard of the cat of 9 tails? I believe that that's what was used on the Lord Jesus Christ. But their cat of 9 tails was not just a simple little whip. It was designed to cause agony. Sometimes they were whipped to death. But what was on the Roman whips from 3 tails to 9 tails was lead balls in pieces of bone or sometimes pieces of metal. And they whipped in a certain way. When they whipped, they pulled down, and so it actually pulled flesh. And that's why it says Jesus Christ was, you couldn't recognize him as being a human being after they were done whipping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes, as they gave their 39. If you figure it out, if there's a cat of nine tails and you gave 39 lashes, that would be 351, really, with 9, 39 times. But oftentimes, the historian tells us that it went to the bones and it disemboweled the one who was being beaten. Now, I want you to think about that, because our Lord Jesus Christ, remember what it says in Isaiah 53? He was wounded for our what? Transgressions. Why did he take that? He could have called 12 legions of angels. He could have vaporized them. But he took that abuse and then was crucified for us in payment of our sins. How dare we take sin lightly? Did he want to do that? No. If it be possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me, he said. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. We need to be people of faith. I just think in Acts chapter 16, you don't need to turn there, but Paul and Silas, they were beat with many stripes. And if you look at that, they were beat with rods and they were thrown into the prison. And what were they doing? Were they cursing those people who beat them? They were singing. That doesn't mean they weren't in pain. You bet that they were in pain, but they were looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord delivered them, and they could have escaped and caused the jailer to be run through, because he's responsible for keeping them safe in there, and if they get out, it's on his head. But he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Because they're singing and sharing the gospel in there, even amidst their problems. Bonds and chains. You know, when you're in the hospital, when you're going through a tough time, there can be great opportunities to witness. Bonds and chains are mentioned, or bonds, chains, and imprisonment are mentioned next in chapter 11. Joseph was shackled in prison for his faith. Jeremiah the prophet was beaten by King Zedekiah and thrown in prison. Evil King Ahab imprisoned the prophet Micaiah. And in relationship to being stoned, Zechariah was stoned to death between the altar and the temple, that open space there, according to 2 Chronicles 24:21. And my feet stood on this very place. Naboth was stoned to death by Jezebel's henchmen. Ahab wanted the vineyard and Naboth wouldn't sell it to him. And so Jezebel had Naboth stoned to death, and I stood there, and there are wild grapes yet growing there today. Back from all this time when Naboth had a vineyard next to Ahab and Jezebel's palace. Naboth was faithful unto death. And it says others in verse 37c were tempted. And you look at that and you say, tempted? That doesn't compare to these other persecutions. Why is it in here? Well, it brings us back once again to the inducement offered to people if they would but compromise or abandon their faith and loyalty to the Lord. And that is what the author of Hebrews, and we don't know who the author of Hebrews was, but that's the whole thing right here, is it's trying to show us that sometimes God gives us great victories of faith in our life, but sometimes it doesn't appear that the Lord's working at all, and yet he's working, but it's not in the way that we would like or we would think, But we still need to be people of faith, take God at His word. And again, as I said earlier, Job said, though the Lord slay me, I'm still going to trust in Him. Most of you weren't even around here. Dennis Fry was, Leif Nelson was, but I remember when the scoundrels broke into First Baptist Church and lit it on fire in three places, and it was so badly burned that it had to be teared down. And I remember the grief that we had playing portable church for an entire year. And the tendency is, and they were never found. And the tendency is, why, Lord, why? But I'm past questioning that, though I can honestly tell you I did say why in my head. But then I left it to the Lord. But if you want to look at what was built on that same foundation as the old church, go all the way down to the other end and go into the chapel. That was the old auditorium. It was about half this size. But I'm glad that I lived long enough to see God's hand. And you're sitting in an auditorium today that holds 350 or 400 if the choir is full. And by God's grace, it is paid for because of the faithfulness of God's people. And I remember the state representative of that time saying, when a big thing like that happens, most preachers cut and run. It was a tough one, but I wanted to see you through, folks. And God's been good to us, though at the time when, why, Lord, why did you let somebody break in and burn the church, set it on fire in three places? A lot of times, and I have people come and ask me, why, Pastor, why? I don't think it's necessarily wrong to ask why, because Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But I think it is wrong to dwell on it and lose your faith in God if you don't understand what the why is and the answer is not coming. There are some things that will not be answered in your life or my life this side of glory. I will not know. I will not know why I have one less granddaughter than I could have had. I will never know that this side of glory. And yet I do know that God is faithful. They were stoned. Now here's an interesting one. It says they were sawn asunder. Now this is by inspiration of the Holy Spirit so that we know some people in the Old Testament must have been sawn asunder. There's no record of that. But reliable historical record says that Isaiah, the prophet, died by being sawn asunder, sawn in half. Okay, you'll not find it in the Bible, but rabbinical records say that Isaiah was sawn asunder. And then it says this, they were tempted. How does being tempted compare with persecutions? Well, the idea here is that the inducement to turn from God, and they refused to do that. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. I do want to comment on that. The Old Testament men and women of faith did not have easy lives. They did not have the finer things in life, many of them. They did not have the luxuries of life. But they served God faithfully. They did not mind the humiliation and discomfort and persecution that they faced. They were, it says, destitute, that relates to poverty. They were afflicted, that relates to privation. They were tormented, that relates to persecution. But I want you to look at God's evaluation in verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. Listen to me, Christians. Christians are often treated as outcasts. a lot of times by their own families. The despised and ill treatment of the servants of God was, a real bad thing. But even though you really get under the skin of the unsaved people, God is watching and God is keeping the books. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves. David, Elijah, the prophets, under the leadership of Obadiah, the prophets were forced to flee into the caves. And here's my conclusion. Hebrews 11:39-40. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I just want to say this before I explain the verse. The deepness of one's character and faith reveals itself in the quietness of the soul when faced with life's greatest tests and trials. Faith enables the believer to turn their backs on the approval of the world and sometimes the other Christians and seek only the approval of God. Remember, Christian, it is not how the world or even other Christians view you that's important. The verses that I just read to you, they say that it's God's evaluation that is important. Consider the Apostle Paul. Let's go to a New Testament illustration. Do you realize the Apostle Paul, Festus said he was nuts? He said he was a loony. Yeah, he did. You can look it up for yourself. The Jews said Paul was not fit to live. Consider how Paul said that he and other believers were retreated in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We are made as the filth of the world and are the off-scouring, or if you would, scum. We are the off-scouring of all things unto this day. Paul says the world looks at us Christians as manure piles and as scum, stinking scum. But as believers, listen to me now, if you don't get anything else. As believers, we must remember, if God is glorified by delivering us, He will deliver us. If He sees fit to be glorified by not delivering us, He won't deliver us. He'll see us through it, but He won't deliver us. Ephesians 1:11 says God works everything according to the counsel of His own will. Romans 14:7-9. For none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord, speaking to believers. For to this end Christ both died, rose, and revived, that he might be Lord of both the living and the dead. According to the scriptures, in verse 40, it says, God hath provided better things for us. Better things for us than those heroes of the faith. You know why? we can look back on Calvary. They had to look forward on Calvary. You know, when they died, you know where they went? The Old Testament? They went to Abraham's bosom because the work of Christ wasn't finished yet. I can just imagine when Christ, the Lamb of God, died for our sins, was buried and rose again from the dead. He descended to the lower parts of the earth and he made his proclamation, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. And he took those Old Testament saints with him to glory. They were singing, glory! Because at last, being with the Lord they looked so much forward to being with had been consummated. Friends, I understand that life many times is not peaches and cream. But I also understand that while we all have mountaintops and valleys in our lives, regardless of whether you're experiencing the mountaintop or whether you're experiencing the valley, we are to take God at His word and be people of faith. Don't wander in the wilderness. Don't turn your back on God. Some of you are facing real stuff and you're wondering why your kids are doing this or that or why this is happening in your life or what about the sickness or you've lost a loved one or you may be losing a loved one and you're struggling with that. And I just remind you that you do not have to struggle alone. Does Jesus care? Yes. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you.